I weighed 275 pounds. When I got diagnosed as a diabetic, Dr. Tarina Stidham, some of you know her, some of you don't, she was here in Detroit for a while, told me if I got under 200 pounds, she'd take me off of all that medicine. I said, go on, write me a lifetime prescription, because I'm not fixing to get under 200 pounds working in a prison system, okay? I wouldn't. She didn't laugh about it, though. I didn't either. That being said, I started out taking medicine. I told somebody this morning, I was taking a 10 in the morning, 6 at night. We were still in the old building over there, and I said, I'm done with this. I'm tired of taking all this. I started praying. I started coming to the altar. I don't know if y'all remember me being in the altar about every Sunday over there in that old church, but I started praying that God take that disease away from me, that diabetic disease away from me. Help me lose weight. Guess what? He helped me lose weight. We built this church, and when me and Brother Jim got through over here and we came into this church, we started a project over in Beaverton. And Brother Brent helped us some. We started in March and we finished it, what, about September, October? That was 5, 6, 7 months ago, or there in a row. And it's hot. This old fat boy sweating. You know, I sweated a lot of that fat off. And we got done with that job, I'd lost 40 pounds from the help of God. I asked him to help me lose weight. He helped me. He got me a little part-time job with Jim Page working. I ain't saying Jim worked me to death now. He did, but he worked me good. And I lost that 40 pounds. And when I lost that 40 pounds, I said, you know, God's been good to me. I'm going to take myself off of this medicine. I'm not going back to that doctor. I'm not going back to that nurse practitioner. I feel good. I was feeling good when I was running up and down the court on the bike. I said, man, this is the lightest I've felt in years. At one time, I got looking like Corey Lowe. Y'all know Corey Lowe, don't you? He had that big old belly out there like me. That can get heavy toting around. But I'm glad I lost it. And through the grace of God, I did lose it. And that's when I decided I was going to take myself off of my medicine. Well, that being said, me diagnosing myself and thinking, yeah, I'm good to go. I ain't got that disease no more. Wrong. I'm still a diabetic. I've still got heart disease. I'll have heart disease till I get to heaven. I'll be a diabetic till I get to heaven. If anybody knows about diabetics, it's something about the body it either produces too much insulin or not enough insulin. And you have to eat right. And I wouldn't. Like I said, when I diagnosed myself and said that I was good, and I thought, hey, this is good. I'm good. That's the best I felt in years. But through that time before I had my heart attack, I had a brother and I had a sister that would keep coming to me and saying, John, are you back taking your medicine yet? No, I ain't taking that medicine. I said, y'all try taking 10 in the morning, 6 at night. See how y'all feel. Well, they said, we're not taking that many, but we're taking some. And they kept on telling me, you need to take that medicine. You need to go back and see that nurse practitioner and get back on your medicine, John. You know it's hereditary on my mother's side and my father's side. You need on your medicine. I said, listen. I praise a higher God, a mightier God than that medicine, and he'll take care of me. Well, little did I know, That was God speaking to me through my brother and my sister. He says, I can heal you, but I give you enough sense to do what those doctors told you to do. Well, I wasn't seeing it. He said, okay, old boy. I helped you lose that weight. I didn't say I was going to take that diabetic away from you, but I helped you lose that weight. He said, now I'm going to put you flat on your back so you listen to me. I wouldn't listen to my brother and my sister. I kept saying, hey, I've been in the altar praying for this for the last 6 months. 2 or 3 years. I said, I've been praying for it. I've been praying God, you know, help me lose weight so I can be a non-pill taking person again. If a doctor prescribes you a medicine, take it. Take my word, take it. Because it was about 3.5-4 years when I took myself off that medicine. And it all led up to June 11th, 2022. I had a normal day. I was mowing grass. When I started mowing, I got a pain right here. And I was like, man, what is that? You know, I shouldn't be sore. I don't know what. That went away. It lasted about 5 minutes. That went away. It was getting a little hot. And I said, I'm going to go in the house. I got a boonie cap I'm going to put on. Keep this heat off my neck. Pretty much bald head at the time. Oh, I just went and got a haircut, so I had a pretty much bald hair or bald head. But I stepped back outside with that hat on, and I thought, you know, it's too hot. It's 3 or 4 o'clock. I said, it's too hot. I'm gonna go back in here and sit down and wait. Well, I waited till the sun went down, and I mowed. Went out there and I finished mowing. I come back in the house, and of course, Blunt was working at the restaurant. And I said, "Well, me and John Aston got to eat. We got to live." Well, he stuck on pizza rolls and chicken nuggets, so I fixed him some pizza rolls and went in there and I had me a nice little can of Spam. I'm going to fix me two of these big old sandwiches right here. I'm going to kick back and watch some TV. Well, let me tell you something. What Spam is, it's good. But let me tell you what it is. It's an artery clogging food. I'm talking it. Now, that wasn't what all clogged my arteries. No, don't get me there wrong there. But those two sandwiches, I ate those two sandwiches. And about as soon as I kicked back in that recliner, I don't even think I took my shoes off yet. When I got to hurting so bad, I got it walking around the house. I said, God, this pain's got to go away. And I'm walking around, I'm talking with the Lord, and I was like, please just take it. If you take it away, I could rest better. I could sit down in that recliner and I could watch TV at ease. I wouldn't even bother you. Well, that pain wasn't going away. That pain got so bad, I said, I got to call somebody. I couldn't call Belinda because she don't have her phone. I mean, she got her phone in there with her, but it ain't on her. That's too far off anyway. So I called another family member. I called my brother. I said, brother, you got to get over here now. Yep. You know what he said? I'm on my way. He didn't ask why, what, who, where. He said, I'm on my way. He walked in that door, correct me if I'm wrong. He said, you a big old boy. He said, I ain't ever seen you cry like this. He said, something got to be wrong with you. I said, call Chastain and see if she'll come check my vitals. he calls Chastain. Chastain said, "What's he complaining of?" So, well, he's hurting up in his chest and a little spot below his shoulder blade. She said, "He don't need no vitals checked. He needs to be took to the ER." And said, "If you ain't on your way now, you're about late." So I heard him hang up the phone. He said, "Come on." We get in the truck. I think it was a truck. I don't believe I opened my eyes the whole time. Getting to his truck, I don't even know how I got there, but I walked, I know. I know he didn't tote me out there. But I don't remember nothing of getting in a truck or anything. I just remember being in the hospital. Because I hadn't opened my eyes. I mean, I don't think I opened my eyes much when you was there. Oh, that's how much pain I was in. I was hurting. But y'all, that ain't nothing. That pain don't compare to nothing to what God, the pain that he had going to the cross for us. But that's just the, we get in the truck and we head out. I think I heard them emergency flashers going. I don't remember if it was or not. But we had to take my phone because he said he forgot his. I said, "Well, just get mine and you take it and use it." So he called Brandy. I remember he calling Brandy. I heard him on the phone. He called Brandy, and he said, "Call Miss Belinda at front porch and tell her I'm on the way with John to the emergency room." So I remember calling and telling that, and I don't know where was that down the road. Like I said, we're going down the road, and I'm still praying. I'm asking God, please, just get this pain off of me. And I'm laid back in the seat. That's the first thing I do. I lay back in the seat. And kicked it back because when I was sitting up, it gave me a little bit of ease when I laid back. So I kind of slanted back, and it gave me a little bit of ease. But I kept praying and kept praying. God, take this pain away from me, please. And he heard me praying. Brother BJ heard me over praying. And all of a sudden, I felt his hand come up on my shoulder. And he started praying. And the thought comes to my head, I hope he's praying with his eyes open. But you know, God said you can pray anyway. The eyes open, closed, he'll hear. If it's sincere, he'll hear. If it's from the heart, he's going to hear. And Brother BJ was coming from the heart with the eyes wide open, watching where we was going because he wanted to get me there safe. So he prays and we get in there. We get to the emergency room and I get in there and I don't know if Brother Harold, if you had a heart attack or not with yours, I don't remember if you did or not. But nobody, I guess, is anybody in here has ever experienced a heart attack. But when you're having that heart attack, let me tell you something. You can't think right. Okay? They go to asking me all these questions about my history of, I don't know. Because I'm hurting so bad. This pain is hurting y'all. I don't remember no asking me 50,000 questions. But I remember my sister coming in there, "Why did you lie to them doctors?" I said, I don't remember lying to nobody. I asked your preacher what you told him, and all you told him was about our oldest brother died of a heart attack. I said, "Well, he did, didn't he?" And she said, "Yeah." I said, "Well, did I leave anybody out?" "Oh, yeah, you left me out. I've had a heart attack already. You left your daddy out? He had a heart attack already." Well, my dad's passed and gone, but 3 weeks before he died, my mother took him to the emergency room at Idleville, and as he was laying in their emergency room on the table, my father actually had a heart attack in there. And I believe to this day, that's where he lost all his strength and never could get it back to come back to life. I think Hannah was maybe 3 years old when my dad died. So that's a long time ago. But, so anyway, they gave me a nitroglycerin tablet. Was it one of them waters full right there? Yeah, my mouth's getting a little dry. But I took a nitroglycerin tablet and, kind of eased a little bit, not much. You know about the nitroglycerin tablets, don't you? Anyway, I took one of those, And I told him, I said, y'all, I think it's just gastritis. I said, if y'all just give me something, make me belch or something, you know, I said, maybe it'll go away. Yeah, they give me one of them nasty tasting things. That didn't work. That wouldn't fix and work. So about 30 minutes later, they come in there, done an EKG, couldn't read it. Come in there and give me another tablet. I took it. They give it to me. Kind of started easing a little bit, the pain did. Come in there about 30 minutes later, said, how's your pain? On a scale of 1 to 10. I said, it's probably about still a 6, 5 or 6. He said, all right, we're going to give you one more. After three nitroglycerin tablets and a nasty cocktail that you don't want when you go in there, I'm telling you, because it's nasty. And by the way, it cost you about $35 for that little thing. It's on my hospital bill. But it's covered. Hey, it's covered. God's got it covered. We had to get to the point to see what was wrong. So they done two more EKGs. Couldn't see nothing on them. Well, I think by this time, my preacher and my sisters talked, and my sisters made it in there to talk to the doctor and give my life history my background of heart disease and, you know, about my family and all that. And he comes in there at last time. He says, how's that pain? I said, it's probably about a one night. I said, I feel like I could go home now. He grabbed my old foot, big size 13 up there. He says, buddy, you ain't going home. That big old grin, you know. I'm thinking, where am I going? And I did ask him, I said, where am I going? He said, I'm sending you to Tupelo. He said, you're going to talk to a cardiologist. I said, okay, whatever y'all want to do. So they load him in the back of the ambulance. By that time, Belinda was there. My mother's done got there. And I think this was my sister, wasn't it? Sister Chester come and got John Haston and kept him. And on our way to Tupelo, we was headed that way. We get over there. I'm going to tell you, folks in Mississippi, I thought a lot of them was, I didn't like Mississippians at one time, but I love them now. I ain't meaning it on the joking side neither. Those folks in Mississippi know how to take care of an Alabama person. And they did it. They did it with me. Through the grace of God, it helped them to help me. And I know it was all God. And that's why I give my grace to him, you know. But we get to Tupelo, and they get me settled in, and I'm laying there in that bed, and it looks like Shaquille O'Neal laying in the bed. That little nurse looks down, and she says, would you like a bed extender? I said, please. So she calls for one, and they bring it in there, and the maintenance guy don't even know how to put it on, so she has to put it on. And I'm like, well, she gets it on, she puts that other little mattress right there, down there at the end. I put my ankles or my heels on it, and I was like, whew, thank you, Jesus. I said, my knee sure was hurting. She said, I could tell. That's why she got me a bed extender. Anyway, I got that bed extender and put on there, and she kept asking all them questions, and finally got me settled in. And I think about after they got me settled in, my mother and my sister eased on back to the house, and me and Belinda stayed there. And Was it Monday night y'all came over? Yeah. So I'm laying there all day, and Monday, they order a echocardiogram. Go in there where they run that camera up your arm and look in your heart. Ain't that what it's called, echocardiogram? Where they run a little camera up in there. I think that's what it is. Anyway. It's a little camera that looks in there and sees what's going on in your heart, where it's blocked or whatever. Well, they ordered that, and we go down to wherever they done it. I think I was telling somebody, Brother BJ or somebody, I said, it didn't take like 5, 10 seconds. And like it just felt like it just sat on my arm for a minute and then got up. And it's like, all right, we're done. I'm like, really? Because they told me I could keep my eyes open. I had a mirror up above me. Said I could keep my eyes open. Look, I was like, I ain't want to watch that. I ain't want to learn how to do that. I just want to get it done, get it over with, get back to my room. So they do that, and I was about probably dinner time, I reckon, somewhere down in there. And I want to say it was about 4 o'clock maybe. A doctor comes in, a cardiologist, surgeon. He comes in, and he talks to me, and he wasn't pleased at all when he looked at those echocardiograms and seeing what was going on with my heart. He told my wife and I had a heart of a 90-year-old. But I felt like I had a heart of a 20-year-old. No matter how you feel, it's what's inside. It's what's inside. That was the real in me, was the heart. So he comes in to tell him, he says, well, big fella, he says, you need surgery. And he says, I can't get to you till Friday. This is Monday. I'm like, okay, what are we going to do? He says, well, I've got a buddy or co-worker, whatever, partner, whatever. He says, he's off today, but he's coming back tomorrow. And he says, I've called him on the phone. I can't get in touch with him. He said, if he calls me back, we're going to try to get it set up sometime tomorrow. Phone rings. His phone rings. He says, by the way, there he is now. Let me go talk to him. So he steps out in the hall and talks to him. His little assistant stands in there and talks to me. And wasn't long, he stepped back in the room. He said, good deal. He said, we got it worked out. He said, Dr. Derveloy is going to do your surgery in the morning at 7 o'clock. He said, is that good with you? I said, do I have any other choice? I'm laying here with a heart of a 90-year-old, and it's clogged up in 5-6 arteries. Do I have any other choice? That sounds great, Doc. Let's get on it. Well, go on that night, and 26 men and women from this church comes in a little hospital room.
Yes, sir.
Somebody says, there ain't enough room. Get all them folks in there. Yeah, we'll make room. If you have to sit on my bed and sit on my lap, somebody's coming to pray over me, we're going to make room.
Amen.
I think I counted right, or my wife and them counted right. I think they said, say 26, counting all of us. It was 26 of us in that little room. You talking about prayers going up. We wasn't having surgery till in the next morning. But prayer started going up Saturday night when I had the heart attack. I felt them. But I really felt them that night in that room when 26 men and women of the church come in there and prayed over me. And I want to thank y'all from the bottom of my heart for that. So we get up at 4. I think they woke me up about 4:45, 5, something like that. What time did you get over? Okay. Well, we was on the way down when you met us, wasn't it? We was on the way down to the prep room when the preacher comes in. And he's bouncing around like he always is. He says, you ready to get this over with? I said, yeah, I'm ready. After what all they, let me go back and tell you what all they told me they was going to do before it all come and prayed over me. This is the nice part. This is the scary part. This is where it gets scary. I said, well, Doc, what are we going to do? He says, we're going to cut you right down the middle. Sorry. He says, we're going to cut you right down the middle. We're going to cut your sternum, which is your breastbone. He said, we're going to take a saw and cut it. And he said, we're going to open you wide open. I said, am I that flexible? He said, we're going to make you that flexible. because we got to get to that heart. Well, that heart lays behind that sternum. You know, we put our hand over here, think, but the heart's right there in that sternum, right behind that sternum. So he says, when we get all that done, get in there where we can work with our hands, he said, we're going to take that heart, snip them arteries, veins and all that. We're going to snip that loose. We're going to take your heart, set over here on the table. I'm looking like, what? Are you going to do what? My heart? Yeah, we're going to set over here on the table. He said, we're going to hook you up to a machine to keep your blood pumping through your body, keep you alive. He said, we're going to fix that heart on that table. He said, it's almost like changing the engine. He said, we're going to fix it. We're going to set it back in there. We're going to hook everything back up. He said, we're going to get that blood flowing back through them arteries and them veins. Because when he come in there and told me, he said, I ain't got one to show you, but everybody knows the size of a toothpick, right? It's very small. Blood flow going through those veins was that size of a toothpick. I'm lucky I ain't lucky. I never want to say I'm lucky. I'm blessed that I'm still here today. With no blood flowing, almost no blood flowing through six arteries in my body, I'm blessed to be here. So he tells me all they're going to do and all that. Of course, the church members come up there and prayed over me I felt the prayers, but did it ease the thought of what was going to happen? Some, not all the way. So when they all left out, Brother BJ said, I'll see you in the morning. He said, I'll be back in the morning. He comes up there, and like I said, he meets us as we're going to the prep room. And when they get us to the prep room, I remember this older black gentleman. I'm going to tell you, hospitality is out of the roof in Tupelo, Mississippi. This man was... he was awesome. He tried to lift my spirits by talking to me on the way down. He said, yep, I got you in about 3-4 more. I said, what you going to do? He said, I'm going to get y'all prepped for surgery. He said, I'm going fishing. All I thought about was Brother Kevin and Brother Bria then. Do what they got to do, they're going to go fishing. But, he got me down there and got me prepped. Nurse came in there and she was doing some things. And it's Brother BJ, my wife, my sister, my mother was in the room. And anesthesiologist come in and talked. And then doctor, I think, was Dr. Derbeloy, the one that was going to perform the surgery, he came in and talked. And as he started out, I remember Brother BJ asking him, he said, are you going to be the one performing the surgery? He said, yes, sir, I am. And Brother BJ said, can we pray? He said, I'd like to pray over you and my brother. He said, and I remember hearing the doctor say, yeah, we need all the prayers we can get. So to the times I was opening my eyes and looking and seeing who was all in the room, I noticed the nurse. Now, when she come in there, getting IVs and all that started, what all she had to do, she was a real sweet lady. And when Brother BJ said, I'd like to pray over you. She just kind of stepped back. I noticed her. She stepped back to the curtain. Well, when he said that, of course, the doctor, he came up there and he put his hand on my leg, and Brother BJ had his hand on my shoulder up here. He walked to the head of the bed, put his hand on my shoulder, and my mother and sister and Belinda had laid her hands on me. And I noticed this nurse hadn't laid a hand on me, which didn't bother me. I didn't care if she did or not. I knew where my strength was coming from. I knew who was the man that was fixing to talk to the man above. I knew, you know, it was going to be all right. Now, Belinda told me later on, she said, on the way down there, you told me you were scared. I said, well, I probably was, knowing what was fixing to happen then. But I'm going to tell you, when Brother BJ said that prayer, and when he said amen, there was a peace that come across me. Whew. Belinda said, I looked at her and I told her, I said, I'm not scared no more. Because I knew right then, God was going to take care of everything. When he said amen, that doctor patted me on the leg. He said, I'll see you in a little bit, buddy. I don't remember seeing him. Anyway, that nurse stepped up and she told my family and my pastor that there couldn't be but two people with him through this whole day. And my sister goes to squalling now. She's just in and out, you know, of Alabama all the time. So she goes to squalling, and I told her, I said, sis, I said, just go down into the parking lot, and I said, sit out there in your car, and I said, they'll call you, or Mama or Belinda, one will call you when I'm done. And that nurse, I don't know if you're still in there, if you've done, I think you said, well, I'm fixing these out anyway. I don't remember if you was still in there or not, but y'all, when this nurse said this next thing, I seen evil in her eyes. She said, no, they got to get off premises. I said, well, this sounds like somebody making up their own rules. And as I've sat and thought about that at home, you know, about that nurse doing that, I said, you know, maybe she needed that prayer more than I did. But that, I believe in my heart to this day that prayer bothered her. And I've been praying for that lady since then. Anyway, my sister starts headed back towards Alabama. She's fixing to turn back on I-22 coming home. And Belinda has talked to some male nurse in there or something. He says, no, he can have as many folks here as he wants. And so they call her on the phone. They tell her to turn around and come back. And she comes back, and I think it ended up being Brother BJ and my mama and my sister, Belinda, and Randy McCool finally came up, I think. Seth Williams for a while. So I get in there, and like I say, before I left that prep room, he's giving me that happy medicine, I guess. Put me out. Because I don't even remember him wheeling me out of that prep room to the surgery room. So the next thing I remember is I'm in, was it CCU or ICU that they took me out to after surgery? Or after, I think it was ICU. It's a little room in there where there's one nurse and he's got two patients. And she can see you here and see this and over here. I'm thinking it's ICU. But, of course, they told us, you know, I'd probably be out for 3 or 4 hours after the surgery, or it'd take that long for me to recover. 3 or 4 hours in surgery. And I think probably maybe about 9:15, something like that. I finally came to that night. Oh, no, it was later than that. Take it back, it was later than that. That's when my boss and one of my coworkers had come up there to saw me, and they had just missed visitation hours, so they had to drive back to Alabama without seeing me. But when I woke up, it might have been the middle of the night, I can't just really remember, but when I woke up and finally was actually seen where I was at, they said I'd woke up earlier pulling the tubes and stuff out of my, but I don't remember that. Anyway, they had all of it in me, all those tubes and stuff in me and stuff. So when I finally came through, it was like I was sitting in a bar stool with my feet on the little ring down there, and I was having to sit up like this. I was in the bed, but that's what it felt like, was I was in a chair. But they couldn't lay me back in that bed because of all that they'd just done, all the handling that they'd just done to my heart. They couldn't lay me straight back. So we get that over with, and of course Belinda says I come up and I started talking about work. She said I was saying something about, I wish Rebel would just leave that alone, because me and Jim has to go back behind him and fix it when he does something. Of course, I don't remember none of that. But I stayed in the hospital. I had surgery on a Tuesday. I stayed till Saturday, come home Saturday. They would have probably wanted to keep me a little longer, but they said 3 or 4 days, you know, we usually let them go. So I was begging them let me go. Cause I was hungry. They don't give you enough to eat in the hospital, especially when you're diabetic. They don't want to gain no weight. But we got to come home that Saturday. When I come home Saturday, I had a nephew and a brother-in-law building me some doorsteps on the front of my house. I had visitors in and out. And one visitor came and saw me. I got up out of my recliner when he started leaving. I said, I'll see you tomorrow. He said, brother, you think you're going to try to make it? I said, brother, you think I should sit at the house and not worship the one that brought me through this? Did I not tell you that? I said, I'll be there. I'll be there praising and worshiping the one that brought me through this. Because I'm telling you, y'all, it ain't nothing I done, and it won't be nothing that I do that gets me up and keeps me going. I've had a lot of y'all tell me that I look good, my color's looking good. Hey, that's all by God. He's doing that. He's handling that. He said, I'll never leave you. I'll never forsake you. He's taking care of all that. He's going to get me back to where I was and better. Because you know what? He's took them nasty cigarettes out of my mouth. Thank you, Jesus. Can we get an applause on that? Thank you. I am so, if anything good come out of this heart attack, it was taking them cigarettes out of my mouth and my wife's mouth. We have quit that. Both of us has quit it. I was wearing a patch. I ain't wearing a patch no more. She told me the other day, she said, you've got several more patches. I said, put several more patches back. I'm tired of wearing them. Because it wouldn't stick to my skin. I was having to put another wrap on there, and everybody was asking me, well, if you cut your arm? No, I said, hold my patch on here. But I ain't got to wear that patch no more. And then it's not by my strength, again. It's not by my strength that I'm not wearing that patch. It's by God's strength that he says, you don't need that. I got you. You don't need that patch. I keep you from putting one of them nasty cigarettes in your mouth. And when I say nasty, they nasty. I smell one now. Man, did I smoke them nasty things? I put them in my mouth. They are nasty. I can't stand to smell one now. Any more inmates up there I work with, if they light one up, I go the other way. No. And then it's not temptation, it's just that I don't want to smell it. The whole week I lay there in that hospital bed, I didn't want a cigarette. Not the first time. When I got to go home that Saturday, I didn't even think about getting in that car and lighting one up, because I didn't want one. I was done with them. When that doctor told me, I left this part out when he's talking to me, but let's come back to it. When that doctor told me in there what they was going to fix me, he said, we're not going to heal you. He said, and I'm fixing to get on to you like your preacher would. He said, I'm fixing to tell you something. I'm not going to sugarcoat it. He said, we're going to fix you. We're not going to heal you. He said, the healing's going to come when you do this. When you start eating right, you start doing cardio exercises. Quit sitting around doing nothing. Get up and get your heartbeat pumping some. 30 minutes a day. That's all it takes, 30 minutes a day. He said, he looks at me, he says, do you smoke? I said, I did, until the other night. I said, when I had this heart attack, I said, I didn't want no more. Usually when I leave my house, I reach up there on this little mantle and would get my cigarettes and lighter. I didn't reach for nothing that night, did I? Because I was reaching for God, because I needed his help. And he came through. It's like he's always promised he would. So I say all of that to say this. When God's speaking to you, it may take you a little bit to figure out through who he's speaking to you or what, but he's speaking to you. Listen to him. And I say that because I didn't listen to my brother and my sister. And when I got to Tupelo that night, my sugar was 400 or something. Now, I wasn't close to going into a diabetic coma, but 400 is not good. 100 is where they want it. You know, somewhere around in there. 102, 103. You're all right for you in there. But 400? Nah. And I wasn't even bad at the time. I weighed 235 then. So it don't matter how big you are, or how small you are, if you're a diabetic, that sugar can raise or it can lower. But now I'm taking this medicine that God has instructed me to take through these doctors to keep it leveled out. Now, no, I can't go back to eating just like I want. I can't eat no pecan pies and chocolate cakes and all that. But guess what? Walmart's got a sugar-free chocolate chip cookie I could eat. It's pretty good, too. And they got a sugar-free apple pie. It ain't that big, but it's big enough for me. But I thank God that I'm still here today and bring this message to y'all, that when God speaks to you, please listen. Because he will make you listen to you somehow, to him somehow or another. And when I came back to church and I rededicated my life, I told you, and I said, it took this for him to get me to look at him up there. But, and this wasn't all bad. There was a lot of good stuff come out of this, out of my heart attack. And like I told you, the smoking's gone. The eating like I wanted to is gone. I have to watch what I eat. Melinda watches what I eat. She keeps up with what I eat. And if I don't eat right, like a lot of times I say, I believe I'll just eat a salad. You've got to have protein. I'll get it at supper time. No. You'll get it when she says you're going to get it. Because she's going to take care of you. She's going to... That's one more thing I want to thank God for. I got a loving wife that stayed by my side through that whole thing. And I pray that she stays by my side. Because she, like you said this morning, you was talking about Miss Brandy getting on you and you couldn't say nothing because you're wrong. I take a lot of them myself. I sit there and just don't say nothing because I know I'm wrong, especially with the things that I eat. I know I shouldn't. But now my doctor did tell me, not the one that done the surgery, but the one that I go back and see, Chris Bell, y'all. Some of y'all probably know him. He's a nurse practitioner over at cardiologist. He said, look, we're not telling you you can't have some of the things you want every once in a while. He said, this don't make it a habit. You can't have them all the time, which that's no fried foods. No creamy foods. I can't even have ranch no more on my salad. But let me tell you something. Raspberry vinaigrette. I didn't think I'd ever like it because I don't like raspberries, but that's a pretty good salad dressing, y'all. Yeah, Dr. Bell said, try that out. You'll like it. I don't know if I will or not. The Jackson's got a salad, and they'll give you some vinaigrette, raspberry vinaigrette salad dressing with it. Get you about two or three of them. It'll take two or three of them. Coat that salad down pretty good. I just want to thank God and worship Him each and every day that I can to still be able to be standing here and do the things that I do for this church family and for my God. I thank Him that He gives me ability to do what He's called me to do. He's not called me to do much, but He calls us all to do some kind of work in the church. And to do His work. And that's what I'm here for. I want to try to do His work to the best of my ability. And I know I will, because He'll give me the strength and the ability to do it. With that, I thank y'all for your attention. Thank you for prayers through my struggles of those 3 months, or